Good morning and welcome to Shakedown Shan. And the host of the show is Shannon Murphy. Good morning, Shannon.
Hi. So it's been a little while. I've been pretty busy getting the tree, getting ready for Christmas and everything, along with doing renovations at camp still. The room is not finished yet, but it's almost there. Have you got a tree yet?
Yeah, we have an artificial tree. We put it up the day after Thanksgiving. And then my daughter comes over and her and my wife decorate the house for 2 days.
Gotcha.
We live on, we have a ranch and every room in the house is decorated, even the bathroom. it's, you can tell it's Christmas when you go in there with the towels and all that. So, yeah, we do good.
Nice. We got our tree, not this weekend, but not this past weekend, but the weekend before, and then it sat in the house undecorated, and now it's got lights on it, but we're going to decorate tonight.
Oh, that's good. Now, do you find it hard getting into the Christmas spirit this year?
Not really, because I like Christmas as it is. I like decorating and having the lights and everything, so the biggest thing about it is not knowing what other people are doing for Christmas, like if they're gonna get together or not. I have to call some people, make sure that plans are still on, like per usual. Uh-huh. Just because I do have some older people in my family and I don't know where they stand on it.
Yeah, we're staying pretty much away from everybody. Even my daughters are kind of not coming over until Christmas Day because they don't want to ruin anything if they catch it, or test positive.
Yeah. So I'm going to call around and see, if people are getting together, when, how many people, what they're doing, just to, respect whatever they feel like doing. But other than that, we'll have our typical breakfast here and then head to Joey's family and have their Christmas dinner there.
Yeah. I miss getting together with people. Not that we got we got around a lot of people at Christmas time, but we did have some people over. But it's the time before when you used to go out for breakfast and see everybody, and I don't know, I kind of miss that.
And yeah,
to me, that's kind of what Christmas is about too. Seeing a lot of people, it goes along with what this whole year has been. So it shouldn't be any surprise.
Right. So that's pretty much all we're planning for Christmas. So I guess we'll get into it. The Supreme Court's been pretty active lately. Seems like every other day there's something new coming out, and there's been a lot of good things, actually, like good wins for liberty.
Mm-hmm.
They have ruled that it is unconstitutional for government to shut down churches or tell them how many people can be there. It's a violation of your freedom of religion. So that's pretty awesome. I hope some churches decide to open up full services, as much as they see fit with their community, and to take on the risk how they want to take it on. Do whatever practices they want to, whether it's social distancing or masks or whatever, or nothing at all, just have them decide what works best for them and everyone that attends the church.
And I know my wife stopped going Sunday because one of her good friends came down with or tested positive. Her daughter-in-law has COVID. So she's not going. And so my wife just said that, there's about 3 or 4 others in the church that tested positive. So she just wants to kind of stay away.
Yeah. And I feel like that's what, people are going to do.
I think so.
People stay away when they feel like, it's a little too risky for them. And the people that don't feel that way are going to go.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way it's been with stores and stuff as well. And so, if you can go to Walmart, Home Depot, Lowe's, you can go to church. It shouldn't be a restricted area.
Well, I think it's easier to contact trace if you go to church. You go into Walmart, who knows what you could be exposed to. That's why I always thought going to church was kind of silly.
Yeah. But. And so that's a big win for Liberty, definitely. A lot of people are thinking if Ruth Bader Ginsburg was still there, that may not have been the case. I can't remember the ruling on it. I thought it was unanimous, though.
I can't remember, but
I can't remember exactly. But the worst part about it is, so they rule this unconstitutional, and then nothing happens to these states, governors that have put these orders in place. They just get a slap on the hand.
Oh, exactly. That's
so it's like it kind of puts into the precedent that they can go ahead and do something unconstitutional, and then it's going to take almost a year for it to come into court cases and mm-hmm. be ruled that they can't do that. And when it does get ruled that they can't do that, nothing happens to them. So it kind of worries me that things are going to go like that. Like, oh, we can just, you know, violate people's rights for a little bit until they catch us. And then, oh, sorry.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's been the whole thing. I think in this past election, it's shown the same thing, that people that break the law, especially these states where they went against their own state constitution and changed the election laws a month before the election, which was unconstitutional in their own states, the Supreme Court lets it go. So I don't know if any of that can be used down the line as far as disobeying the Constitution and not being penalized for it. It's just kind of silly to me how they act. I don't know.
So that's another big one that came out. The Supreme Court rejected the case from, it was like 11 states or maybe 18, I can't remember, got together against some of the swing states and were trying to have a case over shady voting.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I'm not saying one way or another that the election would have gone another way, but I'm also not saying that there's no voter fraud, because in every single election there is some amount of voter fraud. That's just, I mean, with a country this big, that's inevitable.
Oh,
so
yeah,
to just say that there was none at all is a lie, because there's always some in any election.
No, you're right.
How much is a different question. And I mean, there is some evidence out there that I think it should have gone to trial. They chose not to, and I think that was unanimous. That may have been the one that was unanimous, which a lot of people owe Amy Coney Barrett an apology.
Well, me too. I honestly think that that the Democrats don't trust anyone that goes by the Constitution right away. I mean, look at John Roberts. He was appointed by a Republican president, and he sides with the liberals most all the time. And she just sticks to the law. And I don't know.
They owe her an apology because they thought for sure that she was going to just go in and wreak havoc, and if Trump's election went to the courts, that she would be the deciding factor, and that just hasn't been proven to be the case. She's been proving to stick to her ground legally, which is good. I like that.
Well, I do too.
I am kind of confused why they're not hearing the cases, but maybe there's something we don't know about yet.
I don't know. I don't think there's anything we don't know. I just think they don't want to get involved in this with as little time to go. I mean, you know, this could drag on in court for a long time. But
yeah, it could be tried again and again and again.
Yeah, but the refusal to not even hear the case earlier on and just dismiss it without hearing any arguments. I mean, they could have heard the arguments from both sides and then decided not to hear the case, but they didn't even do that. And I think that's unfortunate because, you know, everyone says, oh, there's no proof that there was a voter fraud. But, you know, I've seen five or six different examples of fraud.
Questionable events.
Yeah, definitely. you don't kick all the voter people that count votes out at 9 o'clock and then start pulling boxes of ballots out from under a table to count them. I mean, at least they should have looked into that. I mean, they had video of that, but everybody just, you know, this has been a strange election to begin with. I'm not a believer in mail-in voting. I think they used the pandemic as an excuse. And they even said, you know, if you can go to Walmart or you can go to the grocery store, that you should be able to go and vote. It was safe voting. I went to vote in person, and it was fine. I mean, they had it set up where only so many could go in, and this was in a school gymnasium. But
Like if social distancing and masks are working, then why can't you do that voting too?
Correct.
Also, another big thing was, I think, not with the Supreme Court, but in New York, is there's a bill in the New York Assembly about vaccines. They're trying to change the rules a little bit. And they're saying, you know, vaccines, once they're approved, are going to be distributed. And if health officials determine that we're not reaching enough immunity, that it will be mandated for any citizen that is medically able to take the vaccine to take it, which is pretty scary that that's even in conversation.
Yeah, it is, because I don't know if they can mandate that, can they?
Constitutionally, legally, no, but they also can't mandate masks, and they did.
Right.
If they don't get the bill through, the way I see this going down is that they're going to use the private sector like they did with the mask mandates and social distancing.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to threaten them, threaten the loss of licenses and all that stuff if they don't mandate their employees to have a vaccine, and if they don't mandate, you know, their customers showing proof of being vaccinated.
Yeah, that's kind of scary, actually.
Yeah, it's already coming into play with some concert ticket buying apps. Like, I don't think it was Live Nation. Maybe it was Live Nation. I could be wrong, though. But they were working on vaccination proof for future concerts. And that might be the reality of things. I see them trying to make everyday life pretty hard for anybody that is not vaccinated soon.
Yeah, well, I think they're doing that now in schools, aren't they?
Do that with public school. I mean, if you don't have a list like to the floor of all the vaccinations you need, you can't go.
Right.
And I mean, they're gonna probably throw in the COVID vaccine to that list. And we already had a huge pull out of public schools into homeschooling and private schooling just from the pandemic response. And if they mandate this vaccination, there's going to be an even bigger pull out of the public schooling system.
Well, I think in the next 4 years, pandemic or not, you're going to see a huge swing to homeschooling and parochial schools. With the mandates that this administration are going to hand down for public education, I can't see any sane family sending their kids to public schools.
No. I mean, I'm all for, you know, having a vaccine out that has been studied long term, that, you know, proven to have almost 0% risk of any of the side effects. And, you know, something that makes sense. We've said before, I don't get the flu shot right now because I'm young and healthy. And if I get the flu, it's not going to be terrible for me.
Right.
And I almost never get the flu anyway. I've never had the flu. But, you know, people who feel more safe getting the flu shot, more power to them to go take it.
Mm-hmm.
That's their right to choose that. They choose what their risk is. They have risk assessment. They choose how to mitigate that risk. And they make an informed decision based on all the facts of the vaccine. And they decide to take it or not take it. And that's how this should be as well.
No, I agree. I agree. But what I mean, with the COVID, that's one thing. But what I meant was everything that's coming out now with the new administration as far as education, I would be very afraid to have my child or grandchild in public school. It's going to be an indoctrination 12 years. And that's going to be scary. I mean, it's been getting worse and worse, you know, every year.
Right, it's already.
But it's going to be scary, the people that are going to be in certain positions and what they're going to do.
And just the way that the teachers and the teachers union act, this whole pandemic, just, you know, saying we're all going to call in sick or we're not going to have the schools open. We're going to force the schools to stay shut. And it's like, okay, do you really care about the education of these children? Because you signed up to do this job no matter what. And
exactly,
if you are really so passionate about educating these children, you would show up. That would be right. You would risk that to show up. And it's already proven that the infection rate and the transmission rate in schools is almost non-existent.
Yep.
These people's supreme leader, Dr. Fauci, has already said that, and they're just picking and choosing what information to believe. He made a huge 180. He was saying that schools are dangerous, the kids are going to infect each other rapidly, and now he's saying the exact opposite. Which, good for him for coming to the light. But now that he's saying something that doesn't go with the narrative that everyone wants to believe, they're not going to listen to him.
No, I know. I understand. It's unbelievable, actually, what's going on. And it's sad. It really is, because we see so much damage what being out of school did to the kids. And even now with the homeschooling, what it's doing to them, there's been some tragedy right online with kids doing their work online. And we're not meant to be a isolated civilization. Our society is based on interaction, and especially with young people when they can't understand a lot of this, what's going on and why. And there's some bad things going on. Mental health and suicide rates have jumped enormously. And at least as adults, I think we can get depressed unless we have underlying problems where, you know, alcohol and drugs and that. But children, they just can't understand it.
So. No. And I mean, I forgot where I was going with that. Shoot.
What were we talking about?
Oh, I remember. So the damages aren't going to, I mean, you're not going to see the effect everything has had until a few years down the road. That's when you're really going to see it. I mean, you're starting to see some stuff now, but I mean, we're just at the tip of the iceberg. We can't see what's underneath the water yet.
Exactly. And I think that's going to show up.
Huge problems.
Yep, and I think that's going to show up, like you said, in the future. With, we don't know right now how much this is affecting, the learning of our children. Are we going to have a generation that doesn't know much because they, you know, at a young age, they were taken off the path, you know, because I don't care. I don't care what you say. Virtual teaching is not for children.
Well, I mean, there's probably some that do well with it. I mean, every kid learns differently. Noah's homeschool, most of it's online.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, some kids need to be in person. Some kids are fine doing online. Some kids need hands-on experience. And even just learning in a classroom is not enough for them. And I think the only positive of this may be what's going to happen with education. Yes, we're going through a lot of turmoil with it right now, but with the huge shift that we're having to homeschooling and private schooling and charter schools, kids are going to start getting better educations and getting an education that is tailored more towards them. Because you pull your kid out and you really look and try to see, you know, what's going to suit them best. And if you're homeschooling, you have the luxury of saying, okay, this is not working out. Let's move to a different curriculum next year.
Oh, I agree.
So I think that one of the positives of this is really just everyone learning how much of a mess the public education system is and deciding to come out of that and take education into their own hands for their family. But for a lot of kids, it will be pretty difficult, the ones that do stay in public school, just because it's going to be uncertain for a while what they're doing. You know, you got closures happening all around, and it's like, what numbers even, like, where do these arbitrary numbers come from of when to shut down? Because every district is different.
Yep.
And it just doesn't make any sense.
Well, my outlook is the curriculums that they're teaching and what they're not teaching. And I was talking with a high school junior the other day, and, you know, Pearl Harbor Day was on the 7th. And a couple of days after, and I said, do you know what day, I think it was a Monday, do you know what day Monday was? And he goes, no, I think it was either the 6th or 7th. And I said, no, I mean in history. And he said, no. And I said, it was Pearl Harbor Day. And he said, what's that? Why do we celebrate pearls? And I said, no. I said, Pearl Harbor Day was when the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor. And he said, well, where's Pearl Harbor? And I said, it's in Hawaii. And he knew absolutely nothing, not one thing, and he was a junior in high school, about an important event in our history. And I didn't even dare go to D-Day or Battle of the Bulge to see if he even heard of that. He probably would have said the Battle of the Bulge is a health issue, that people are getting too heavy. But I was very surprised. And here, I don't think they're teaching that in schools. And
They're not teaching.
No, and they're dumbing down of our education, the United States history. And it's sad.
Yeah, they're not teaching, you know, important things. And I mean, the amount of stuff Noah has learned from homeschooling is incredible. He's learning in science class, you know, like real life things. He learned how to cook a fish the other day, which that's something you're going to need.
Mm-hmm.
Do you need to know that the mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell? Probably not.
Yeah, really.
Unless, like, you're going to go into a field like that. But I mean, you go to school, you don't learn how to do taxes, you don't know what they are, you don't learn the premise behind them, that, you know, they steal your hard-earned work out of your paycheck every week.
That's right.
You don't learn how to buy a house, you don't learn about credit, you don't learn about all these important things, which I shouldn't say not all kids do, because the kid I'm tutoring is in a class that does teach this stuff, luckily. But he also goes to a very big high school, and it is a rich kind of high school. So that's a little different. When you're talking about where I came from in Hadley, you don't get these classes.
No, I don't think many schools do, in all honesty. And I, that's why I think we're going to be heading down a, we're heading down a path, I'm afraid. And we can see how much our education system has dummied down. We were the leader in the world with the best education system, and I don't think we are anymore. It's just sad.
It's because we put a one-size-fits-all curriculum on the children, and that's just not what they need. And then they don't get enough time to be creative and explore. Noah finishes school fairly early. He doesn't have to be on the computer for 6 hours like some of these kids. He, you know, hops on. He does some on the computer. We print out some of the papers so he can do some on paper. He reads a physical book, not on the computer, so it's a good mix. And his classes are pretty short and sweet, to the point. And then he has extra time in the day to, you know, play or listen to podcasts. He listened to a podcast the other day, and it brought up a good conversation about the death penalty. And we started talking about the death penalty and whether or not you think it's a power the state should have. And it was a good conversation. And he wouldn't have had the extra time to explore podcasts for a few hours had he been in school and then coming home to do homework. But that brings up another point of something going on recently, is all the executions lately.
Yeah, started going up, haven't they?
Yeah, they have done quite a bit lately and have a lot more planned for this month. So the death penalty talk has been, you know, a hot topic recently. I've seen it on social media a lot. And it was funny that Noah brought it up too, at the same time that it was relevant. So, I mean, my stance on it is still that, you know, as human beings, none of us have the power, should have the power to take anybody's life away.
No.
And I know, that's also the fact that, I know it's hard because, you know, some people are so terrible that you're like, you know, they deserve it, but they may deserve it, but do you really have that right to take their life away? So it's just, it's a hard conversation for a lot of people.
It is.
But also there are too many instances where the wrong person has been executed, and I don't think that's a risk that should be taken.
I don't either. And I mean, I've always thought that life in prison was worse than execution. I mean, if you're really trying to punish a real bad person, being in prison for life would probably be harsher than executing them.
Right.
Because who does that hurt? I mean, by killing them. I mean, for him, it's over in 45 seconds.
Then you get into the topic of, it's expensive. Should we be paying for that? And I mean, I don't know what I've not come to a conclusion yet on how to fix the prison system. All I do know is that nonviolent criminals should not be in prison, and that's going to take away a lot of the cost. So you can keep these, you know, terrible people in there. Because I don't have an answer on what to do with those people yet.
No, but I know.
But I do know that the death penalty doesn't deter crime and isn't morally right. And that's why many states don't do it. But what to do with them so they're not, you know, we shouldn't have to pay for them. I don't know. I don't know what the answer there is.
I don't know, but I'll tell you, it's like you said in the beginning. I think that there's always a chance that the wrong person is there.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, we found that out you know, many times. And
well, we found that out with Kamala Harris.
Right. Yeah, really.
She had evidence and she was holding it until the very last second she decided to give it up. She had evidence with someone on death row that they were innocent. And yeah. It's just, we know how sick these people in power are that they do not deserve to have the right to take someone's life away. The way I talked to it with Noah was, he said it was wrong, but he didn't know why. Because I told him, well, why do you think that? And he said, well, I don't know why. I just think it's wrong. And so we talked about it and came to the conclusion that, you know, if someone kills your family member, does that give you the right to go kill the person that killed your family member? And he said, no. I'm like, so why would you give anybody else the power to kill that person?
Mm-hmm.
He goes, right. You shouldn't. And so I'm glad he initially thought that it was wrong, even though he didn't know why at first, couldn't figure out why. But, yeah, that. It's pretty sad that we're just executing a bunch of people right now.
Yeah, well, I tell you, I don't know what we're coming to as a society. I really am. I mean, people say, oh, you're putting too much into this, and you know, just go along and see how everything goes. And I can't do that. You know, I just look at the world and the country, and it just makes me wonder. I mean, this week. You had Biden and Harris named the persons of the year for Time Magazine. And
oh, yes.
What
yeah.
have they done? They're not even in office yet. And then and they were tearing President Trump down, the magazine. And now another country was added to that Middle East, whatever you want to call a group of countries that pledged to get along with Israel, which to me is huge. And now there's four or five countries in that pact, and they just ignore that. I just don't understand it. And if it was a Democratic president that did that, I mean, he'd be up for sainthood.
Exactly, yeah.
So I never could understand that, how they could be persons of the year.
Yeah, I don't understand it either. I mean, the left typically likes to just ignore the past of anyone that they, you know, prop up, but not ignore the past of anybody else. It's hypocritical. It's inconsistent. And I mean, you see it on the right a lot, too. So it's not just a thing that the left does. It's a thing that most people in this society do.
Well, yeah,
that
people in society.
They just ignore people's past just because it's a person that they favor.
Right.
But anyway, I hope that we don't have a terrible next 4 years. I hope that some good comes out of it because I don't want to just be doom and gloom. I'm not very optimistic about it. But I hope for the best.
Well, the only way I'm optimistic, and in all honesty, is if we hold the Senate and can get the Congress in 2 years, because that'll give some checks on the administration. And, I mean, we've already you need checks and balances. And I think we're going to need some checks on this administration. The people that he's putting in are kind of suspect. But I mean, we can see what Nancy Pelosi did. You can have your opinions on whether we need another stimulus or not, another stimulus package, because all we're doing is printing money that somebody's going to have to pay for. But
right.
She wouldn't go along with anything that the president wanted to put forward or what the Senate did. Now, they met halfway with her, or more than halfway, that they ended up with a $1.9 trillion deal, which wasn't acceptable to her because she wanted almost a $3 trillion deal. And they said, no, we're not going to pay for studies for marijuana and climate control things for 5 years. That's not the stimulus that we want right now. So she wouldn't even bring it up in the Congress. Well, now that the election's over, the Republicans put together with, there's a group, I forget what they call themselves, there's a group of like 24 Congress people and a bunch of senators that get together, and they call them, they work together. I mean, they work good together. And they came up with a $900 billion package. Doesn't address everything, but, and now she will agree to it. And she says, I'll agree to it because we have a new president. And after the first of the year, we can get a bigger package. So, and you know who came out against her? Bernie Sanders. He said that she held people in the country hostage, didn't give them the relief that they needed, and now she's willing to go for a smaller package just because of an election. And he said that that is terrible. I couldn't believe when he was talking about this. I mean,
right.
But this is, anytime someone has power or wants power, they don't care how they treat people. And,
no.
I still maintain that's what happened with Trump. I mean, Trump was an outsider. The common people liked him, but the politicians, even Republicans, hated him because he was exposing things that were wrong and doing things for people, bypassing all the red tape, and they didn't like that. So I think even a lot of Republicans in the hierarchy really didn't like him, and that probably helped to I think a lot of things. Facebook, Twitter, the media, you know, all big tech, Wall Street, they all helped to get Biden elected. And so he had a lot of stuff against him, Trump did, but I thought the 4 years he was in were, he did a lot of good.
You know what's interesting?
What's that?
So Fox News has been, you know, pretty pro-Trump the last 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, I don't know if you've noticed, but they've kind of changed their tone on that a little bit.
Yes, they have.
They've kind of been more critical about him, which is something to think about. And I'm not sure, I haven't formulated my thoughts on it yet about what it says, but it's something to stew over, definitely, and think about, okay, what's going on here with this? What is the underlying message of that?
Well, I can help you out a little bit on that. I know a little bit about that. Rupert Murdoch owns Fox, and he used to own the Fox, like a movie place and everything, and he sold that off a while ago. So he owns Fox Network, and he owns, what is it, the Daily, one of the New York Post. And
okay.
He's getting really old. I mean, he's probably up in his late 80s, I would say, even maybe older. But his son is taking over the business. Now, Rupert Murdoch is a very conservative person. He's English. I don't even know if he's an American citizen. But he's very conservative, where his son is a liberal. So the son is taking over more and more of the business side, and they're saying that he's telling the news people to not be so conservative on their reporting. So I think that's why you're starting to see a shift, you know, and it's subtle, but it's a subtle shift toward more towards the middle, and you may even see him go a little more towards the moderate left. But there's another news outlet called Newsmax, and there, since September, their listenership, well, they're TV, but you have to get the right package. They are on cable TV. They've increased over, I think it's 300%
mm-hmm.
of their audience, and they are taking over a lot of Fox's, you know, listeners. And then there's a network called One News America, And I subscribe to that. I get it. You get it streaming, but, you know, for $5 a month, I got it. And they're very, very conservative. But they go into more background stories on what happens. Plus, they talk about how world news and how that affects America. And I like both of those. But I agree with you. Fox is getting a little more... the news division, the shows like Hannity and Tucker Carlson and that are still pretty conservative, but the news side of it is getting, you can tell it's not the same as it was a year or two ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's the background on that. I keep up with that because I was really surprised about Fox towards the, I think they, probably in the last year, I think they started going a little bit, you know, not so the shift you could tell was starting a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, then I had read where the Sun had told the newscasters to, not be so conservative.
Right. Interesting.
Yeah, it is.
I did notice it a little bit, and so I thought that was, noteworthy. But we'll see.
Yeah, we'll have to see how it goes.
I think that's really all I got for today.
Okay. Yeah, and then maybe next time we can talk about the sheriff, enforcing the governor's issues.
Yeah, maybe we'll see how that plays out through Christmas.
Yeah. And, you know, Cuomo did win an Emmy for his acting during his daily briefing. So we'll see. Maybe he'll get nominated for an Oscar when we're on next time.
Right.
All right. Well, hopefully you'll be on before Christmas. Hopefully we'll be able to do another show.
Yeah, I'll try to get on before Christmas.
Yeah. All right.
All right. So see you next time.
You got it. Have a good day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.